Oh, Ricky, you could pray for a little order here this morning. My order for me, that I get this in the right order. Man, just that. Thanks for praise and worship again. Let your glory fall. Lord, please let your glory fall. Please open the eyes of our understanding this morning. You know, I have to just go with where, y'all know me, just what God's got us doing and sharing. So this week, being on limited activity can be good and bad. Y'all need to pray for Cassie now the next 3 weeks, because the doctors, like they said, they told me, you're going to feel like doing it, don't do it. And I'm like, well, that's nice, you know. So anyway, you're there, and I just, how many of you might be in a position, situation, or circumstance that you're like, how did I get here? I got a couple over here. How did I get here? And not only that is, Lord, why am I here? There's several of you not admitting it, I think. And, me and Kathy are there. You know, we're in one of them deals like, how did we get here? And, Lord, why are we here? Think about that. I want y'all to hold on to that, okay? Because I want to do a little review. And y'all don't have to turn to every scripture. I'll give you the scriptures, and I'm going to try to kind of go through, because it's just, you know, Corey, and last week, listening to Howdy, and he was talking about growing again. And so as I'm listening to him, and the Lord says, are you being a growth inhibitor or a growth enhancer? Are you feeding yourself that which grows you up or which tears you down? Are you feeding yourself that which keeps you where I would have you to be, or just where you want to be? I didn't want to answer some of it. But as you're sitting there every morning, just getting to read and pray and study, and, you know, he just began to reveal some things to me about me, you know. You think about that time, you think, I got this down. And no, it's not down yet. It's like you're still making a few little bobbles here and there. Kind of like one of them, when you use, how many still fish with the little bobber, you know? And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you catch a fish, it goes down and then it's floating on top of the water. And sometimes that's the way we look like, I think, to the Lord. Boom, 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 boom. Just we're kind of going up and down. It's just, could be like one of them bobbleheads on top of, on the dash of a pickup or something. So keep praying for order, Ricky. Okay, keep trying to go there, you know. And so anyway, just a little review, and I was thinking about that, and so the Lord's Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He shall direct your paths. We'll read a little more. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, for it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And not what we read, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. Go back to verse 5. So as I'm thinking about, I read this every day. And you know, sometimes things become a little bit too, I think there's relationships like this that there's, I don't know the right word, but it just begets, we take it for granted. And we think, I'm really doing this. And he said, trust in me with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. And you know, when we stop and think about that just a minute, it's like, okay, I'm getting a little bit of it, but I'm not real sure I want to hear everything you're telling me at the moment. Because he's saying, if you trust in me with all your heart, think about Jesus a minute. He trusted in his Father with all his heart, knowing that what he was doing was for the benefit of us. So the Lord said, if you trust me with all your heart and you lean not to your own understanding, you're willing to be wherever I'd have you to be, whenever I'd have you to be there, and you won't question me. And I'm like, I'm not doing very good at that, am I? And he's like, no, you're kind of bobbling a little bit. You're wavering sometimes here. You know, and I don't mean wavering off the faith walk. I just mean you're wavering because you're thinking, did I miss God? No. I know over the years, as Kathy and I, the different situations and circumstances that we've been in, John, I look at those and I think, you see now where they were for your benefit. But at the time you're in the place and position you're in, they don't look like there's no benefit whatsoever. And so the Lord said, if you trust me with all your heart, and as it says in Romans 4:20, Abraham was fully persuaded and God accounted unto him for righteousness. He was fully persuaded. God said, you've got to meditate on this till you trust me with all your heart, because he said, where I'd have you to be in your place at this time to rule and reign over the affairs of your area of influence has a direct bearing on someone else filling their spot, maybe not today, but on down the road. Amen. Because if Jesus, him filling his spot, him going through what he went through on the earth, being crucified, going into hell, defeating death, hell, and the grave, had a direct bearing on why we're here today. Amen. And we're to be imitators of Christ. And I'm like, I get it, but it's still not much fun some days. I shouldn't share this. This is like, whoa. Kathy and I, over the, you know, we've had two or three different places, and some of them were leased, and you went in there and you fixed them all up, you know, and I mean, I did. I tried to always, if I had a place leased, I tried to leave it better than when I got on it. Maybe it's, you know, sometimes it might have been a house, or sometimes it might have just been some land, you know, barns or whatever, but try to clean up and do things. And I felt like I've done pretty good at it. You know, I might not always got it quite where I wanted it to be, but I always left them better than when I found them. And of course, y'all have already heard me talk about the rocks. And so where we are now, there's still a lot of rocks. And I'm like, Lord, just saying, don't want to gripe here, but just saying, I've put a lot into a few other people's places, and you reward me with this rock pile? And this week I've been getting to be able to laugh about that, Beth, a little bit, not totally just rolling in the floor laughter or nothing, but what the Lord is saying, he said, if you trust me with all your heart, everything in you, where you are, you know I put you there for right now, such a time as this. You're there for a purpose. You're there for a reason. And when you get your eyes off and you quit having a pity party and you quit thinking about the rocks, you can be of some value to someone else. And you can be instilling some eternal things in some people's lives that I've put you there for. And it may be very simple. It may be for a short season, may be for a long season. But we're not to question that part of it. And it's hard not to question it, because we get, you know, we've got, you know, you're, well, Lord, what about some of these goals and dreams that I totally believe are from the Lord? And some things that I know, me and Kathy absolutely know he showed us to do. Like, he showed us to be here at this church. We love y'all. We thank y'all for letting us be here. And we would like to be here a lot more often, but it's 3 hours. And then we're getting to have a really big impact on our grandkids' life. And so if we're here, it's 3 hours back over there. He hasn't told me why, but he said, just go with the flow, Russ. I'm not a real good go with the flow kind of person. I'm having to really practice on that. And so like I've told you before, when we, you know, the reason we're in a lot of the situations and circumstances that we're in, it's not just for our benefit, it's for other people's benefit. And it's just like Jesus. I mean, can you know, he said, Lord, if I don't have to bear this, I'm not going to go. But y'all know, he said, Lord, in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. He knew what was taking place. Guys, sometimes we know what we're fixing to go through and take place. And if we're willing to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I choose to be willing and obedient here. I've been obedient, but not very willing some days lately. And that's a key ingredient, because those two unify one another and they bring what God desires to come to pass in our lives to come to pass. He said, trust in me with all your heart. Don't waver on that. Believe me when I tell you that I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Psalms 139. He said, I fashioned your days for you before the foundations of the world. You are here for such a time as this. You are fully equipped. 2 Peter chapter 1, I've given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of me. But if we don't stay on that knowledge, if we don't hold on to that knowledge, if we don't make our mind up, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You know, and listen, this ain't got nothing to do with situations and circumstances of lack or sickness. That's not even in the equation. We're talking about life-changing circumstances that God's had us in positions to minister to people, to bring people into the kingdom of God. We've got some that's come into the kingdom that we're to nurture mentors. We're to be mentors to people in our area of influence. And it may just be one person for a short period of time, and if we do our part, they grow up faster. And what's that mean for us? We step on to another. He said, you need to look at this as an adventure, not a burden. And I'm like, I enjoy the adventure very much some days. He said, when you learn to enjoy the adventure, and look at it as an opportunity to minister, as Jesus went out doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We may not recognize someone's being oppressed of the devil. It may be kind of quiet and hidden. But he said, I want you to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. That's for each one of us in here. And he said, if you love me, well, we go in John last week and Corey talked about it, and we've been on it for about 3 or 4 weeks here or longer, you know. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. 1 John, right there, 4:7, right in there. You know, I'm not going to go to every one of those. Y'all, we've talked about them all week. We can turn and look at them. But he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In other words, you'll just be a doer of the Word of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will be willing and obedient to follow and listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I was in a situation a few years ago that a friend of mine had a ranch, and he lost his ranch manager and asked me to come help him. And so, I mean, I had my own deal going, and then I took on this deal too, and I was really busy. And he finally got a guy hired to take the job, and he said, would you stay on and help him for a little bit? Because, you know, he don't know this place, he don't know this ranch, and he said, I'd just like you to help him get his feet on the ground. And so I'm like, yeah, sure. I wasn't wanting to, Ricky. And anyway, I did though, you know, and I don't know how many months it wound up being. It wasn't just a few weeks. It kind of ran on and on and on, and I left that ranch one afternoon. I'm running my little rear off, and I'm like, Lord, I've had enough of this. I want out of this stinking situation. He said, well, I have you right where I need you right now, and you need to shut up and quit complaining. You know, God, I have to be talked to that way. Don't think God was being rude or nothing. He's just trying to get across to me, because sometimes it's a little thick. And he said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, you know what the fastest way out of a situation you don't like is? He said, tell me you'll stay there forever. Think about that. Are you willing to go that far? When we get the revelation to trust in the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength, and say, Lord, it's not my first choice, but help it to be my first choice. Because when it gets to be my first choice, to be right where God would have me to be, even though to my flesh it's a little irritating. He said, it's not about your flesh. Kathy keeps reminding me it's not about us. It's about others. And you know, that's hard for us to get by a lot of times because, you know, we have dreams and desires that we think that's interfering with. It's actually the pathway through them, to them, to fulfill those dreams, desires, and destinations and destinies that God created us before the foundations of the world. It goes, how many watch the Rodeo Town? Y'all watch any of the rodeos? You know, when they got all the ads on every year, they have a big deal about San Antonio. It says the road to Vegas goes through San Antonio. Some of the roads to our destination, to fulfill our destiny, go through places that we don't perceive as being a lot of fun to go through. And he said, but you trust me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, you acknowledge me and I'm going to direct your steps. And if you're fully persuaded that I'm directing your steps, then you can put a smile on your face and you can go through that and you're going to be a blessing. Because pretty soon, what we did was we chose life. Jesus said, I've come, John 10:10, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And he said, what you're doing is choosing life because this is the true life when you're in me. Because in God, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So the enemy is telling us, you don't want to stay there. I've agreed with him a little, Todd. I've said, no, I don't. But we got to bow up and say, but this is where God asked me to be, and you're a piece of trash under my feet. And I'm going to be where God had me to be, whether you aggravate my flesh and try to get me to talk otherwise. No. I'm going to fulfill the destiny. So Kathy asked me this morning, again, she says, any revelation? I said, yeah, I need to practice the ministry of silence a lot right now. Because if I can't say something that's in line with the word, I need to keep my mouth shut. And pretty soon, you know, I think back at some of the Chip's Brim's messages, you know, was like when he went through the deal with the baseball thing and they're bringing him before the principals and they're going to take his life, whatever, away. Nobody had ever won a case. When he calls his mama and says, what do I do? He said, well, you got to love them. He said, I don't love them. I want to kill them. She said, well, that's not the way it works. He said, I knew what mama was going to tell me. Kind of like, y'all know what I'm telling you today is the truth. But there's like some of it I don't want to hear because it's not feeding my flesh, but it's feeding the spirit. And you got two wolves. Remember, y'all seen that deal? And the one you feed is the one that wins. So if we feed the spirit, the word of God, and every time we truly be doers of 2 Corinthians 10, where it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. No, that's in vision. So cast down those every thought. Take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ and cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when Satan brings this thought, well, you don't want to be here. Yes, I do, because God put me here, and in him is light and there is no darkness, and I'm walking in the light. I'm going to be here, whether you think I like it or not. So you can just get your little butt out of here and leave me alone. We're to exercise the authority. Oh, y'all are going to really like this. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ricky, you're doing a really good job, I think. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm getting there. So I'm like, wow, this is just really, really good. Ephesians 4, verse 29, where it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Now, I've mentioned that to y'all before, and we've talked about, you know, paying attention to what we say, and grace to the hearers, not only to those around us that are hearing, but to ourselves. If we're talking the word out loud, we want to be ministering grace into our spirit, man, to our flesh. We want the grace of God to take over. And he says, so don't speak anything that's not edifying. So I tried to pull a little bit of Laurie and Ricky out of the hat this week, and I actually tried to look at some of these things up, Alan, and get me some word studies. I didn't study at school. I brown-nosed. I went and visited them professors and got through stuff. But so now I'm having to learn how to do some of that. So edification. This brings chills to me. Edification is to set someone free morally, educationally, and spiritually. To set someone free morally, educationally, and spiritually. Let no corrupt words proceed out of our mouth, but that which is good to edify, and that it may minister grace, the grace of God, to the hearer. Remember, God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Well, if it was sufficient for Paul, it's no less sufficient for us. And when we understand that if I'll declare the word, back to our words, we need to have God set a guard. We need to help Him as He gives us opportunity to speak the word and set a guard before our mouth. We need to seize that. We need to say, "Yes, Lord, I receive it." That's why for me some days, Alan, it's just shut up. Till my mouth catches up with the thought process. You know, kind of, I start bringing every thought captive, but my mouth ain't got there yet. Nobody else in here has that problem, do you? In the back of your mind's telling you, "Don't say that," and it's like, "I don't care what you say, I'm saying it." Don't say it. Kind of like that doctor. He said, "You're going to feel like it, but don't do it." And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm catching up on the sleep I missed in 2 weeks. I learned how to do that, get some of that caught back up. Did y'all get that? Edification is to set someone free morally, educationally, and spiritually. What did Jesus said? You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When we speak the truth, people get set free. That's why it's so important. When we speak the truth, and we declare the truth over people in positions of authority that have become, and listen, some of them I truly believe have been anointed and appointed to be where they are, and they have sold themselves out and for greed and lust, but some of those people are redeemable, and the gifts and talents that God's given them, He would really like to use for the benefit of this nation. But some of them have not. And I'm just like Harriet, "Lord, take them out. I'm not asking Him to kill them." Boy, that's my mouth is wanting to say that, and my mind is telling me, "Don't say it that way. You just asked me to remove them and replace them with godly men and women." Because if we continue to repent and thank the Lord for the government He gave us, and we say, "Lord, we're going to be good stewards over what You've given us, and not just our government. We need to be good stewards over our children, over our finances, over the affairs in the communities we live in our area of influence." We need to learn to submit to that. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on understanding. Lord, that guy won't listen. And the Lord will tell you, "You don't know. You wouldn't listen for a while." But he said, "You know what? I had somebody say it enough in your presence that pretty soon your subconscious caught on and got it into your conscious." There's no telling, guys, when we stand before the Lord and He shows us how that took place, we're going to like, "Well, I never heard it." You know? He said, "Yeah, I know, it took a lot." He said, "You were so preoccupied and so consumed with your own lust and your own," I'm just the things we want to do that we think are so satisfying sometimes, when He said, "That's the wrong road, you're in the ditch. because you're going to think that's going to satisfy. And how many things have we done? How many avenues and roads have we taken in our lives because we thought that was going to make us feel good? That's going to fix all these issues in our life. If I can just get right there, it's going to be good. And you get there and it's like, it's kind of a cesspool around here. And the Lord said, I tried to show you, but you were so bent on it. So like my daddy would tell me something two times, and the third time it's, boy, you can learn it on your own. I'm trying to get to where when God says, this is where you need to be, I can say, thank you, Jesus. I'm in the right place, the right time. And I'm going to enjoy it. That's a little more work. And thank goodness every now and then He gives you a reprieve and lets you do some other things. But that's for a refreshing. That's for a refilling. To be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus, guys, listen. There's nothing wrong with a refreshing and a refilling, because Jesus got off by Himself to pray and get refilled and refreshed. And if we'll be obedient, as God is telling us, I want you in this spot, and listen to me. I want you to hear me, son. I want you to be a part of this person's life. Maybe it's your grandkids. Maybe it's a neighbor. Whatever. As we are willing and obedient, Isaiah 1:19, the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. When we choose to be willing and obedient, we're on the right road. Because we can't be on the wrong road and be willing to be at the same time. I don't think that can happen. If we're willing and obedient where God have us to be, and we learn to praise Him in the midst of it, we're to where, it's like, Lord, and you know, it's like, I like how Chip put it. He said, you know, I didn't want to love them guys. And Mama convinced me that I had to do that. And he said, so I get in my office and I said, bless them, Lord. And he said, it's through gritted teeth, not with a good attitude. He said, just bless them so much it just knocks them down. Lord, y'all, as we make our minds up, as we choose life, we're choosing life. I'm convinced we're choosing the life God created for us by being willing and obedient, by giving God first place in our life. And it said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that's how we demonstrate our love for those that are in that area of influence, for it to where we're supposed to be ministering. Because you know where it says about entertaining someone, entertaining strangers, you might have entertained angels unaware. Guys, we might be cultivating the life of someone that's fixing to lead one of the greatest revivals that's ever took place. When we begin to recognize that our reactions and actions have a direct effect, you know, it ushers things in that God's designed to usher in when we're willing and obedient. It keeps us, we get focused and we choose life. We're helping someone else choose life. God's all about people. That's why He created us, family and people. And He said, I need you to become more family and people oriented. Because sometimes I want to be away from people. Jesus got away from people and refreshed. We need to understand when we've put too much and we've taken on more than... You know, there's times when God said, I didn't tell you to pick that up. I didn't tell you you had to do that. You let people put pressure on you to somewhere they thought you should be. We need to hear from the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so important to spend our time in prayer, in the Word, tuned in, listening, and being willing to, when someone says, well, I think you need to be over here. Well, I've learned how to say, God didn't tell me I need to be there. Don't mean to hurt your feelings or nothing. I respect that. And if God tells me to be there, I'm going. But just because you told me to be there probably means you just didn't want to do the job you want me to do. God, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So when they say, you say, no, no, I'll pray about it. I'll get back to you if I think it's necessary. Till then, just leave it alone. Have them leave it alone. That's okay. And when someone does it, you know, if we happen to be one of those people that said, well, Ricky, I think you should go over here and preach. Ricky looks at me and says, no, God didn't tell me to go there. And we need to be able to not, that's when we need to learn to practice the ministry of silence. We need to know we heard from the Lord. You know, I've learned over prophecies and things, you know, we've had a ton of things spoken over us in our lives and our duration of being in the ministry. And of all the things that's been spoken over us all the years, Kathy might recall some more than this, but I out of all of them, two of them, not that there's not some others going to come to pass, Alan, but two of them, God's brought back to my attention, me and Kathy's attention, that have come to pass in our lives that were like, wow, you know, and they were things that were spoken by people I highly respected, not just a off-the-cuff kind of deal. And you know, a lot of things appear to be off the cuff, but if that prophet's been with the Lord, it ain't off the cuff. It's serious. And we did. We had a pastor that we got hooked up with that brought us to Mason. And Jeff spoke some things over us. And man, this year, I mean, Jeff's, we weren't there. I was so mad at him, Betsy. We moved all the way to Mason to sit under Jeff, and he leaves not 6 months after we get there and brings another pastor in, and God takes him out on the road and is taking him to the nations, literally to the nations. And I'm like, I don't like this at all. But he spoke some things over us while we were there. And we stayed in touch, you know, contact, and we're good friends. And I wasn't mad at him, like, but I'm disappointed. And this year, when some things happened, last year, some things happened, he brought Jeff and that prophecy to our remembrance. And we were able to bless him financially in a manner that we had never thought we could do. And God said, see, I told you, he spoke that over you. And when he called, he just wept when I brought that prophecy back to his remembrance. And there's been another one up in Benita, Oklahoma. But anyway, the point being, we got to choose life. And he said, I want you to trust me with all your heart. So I've had to work at it this week, Laurie. I've taken and said, okay. And he sat down and he said, just think about that. Don't quit reading so fast. He said, you just read it because you're reading the Word. You can quote them, you know, I mean, y'all know how I am on confession, man. It's like I go through some of them so fast of a morning because I got to get out and get somewhere. And he said, slow down. Think about what you're confessing and declaring. He said, be a part of it. Be a part of it. Let it become a reality in your spirit to where throughout the day it echoes in your spirit. Pretty soon it's echoing in your mind, and the act of bringing every thought captive no longer becomes a chore. Well, he said, slow down and meditate on my word. You know, I think of meditation, that's not it. The Israelites repeated that scripture over and over, and they sat there and maybe did some music or something. But, you know, our Western culture, we don't quite comprehend some of those things. And that's okay, because God's appointed us and anointed us for where we are. But he said, I want you to learn to think about that scripture. He said, maybe sometimes just to slow down would really help you a lot. He said, don't be in such a hurry. You know the scriptures, and it's good to set your eyes on them and to continually see them and read them out loud to yourself. But just like this week, he said, I want you to think about trusting in me with all your heart, your whole being. I want you to believe that where I have you is where I want you. And I have you there for a purpose. And so just grasp that and take pleasure in it. And I'm gonna close with this. Turn to Job. Let's see, Job 36, chapter 36. I have a whole lots more things I could say, but I think we kind of got the gist of it. Psalms 36, verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Who would like to spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure? What did he say? If they obey him. If we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and all our mind and all our strength, we're gonna trust him with all our heart. We're gonna lean not on understanding. When we meditate on that, we're gonna know that God has truly given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. We're going to grasp that we are exactly in the right place at the right time for such a time as this. And that should cause us to spend our years in pleasure. And not only that, when it says, Corey says so much, when you grow where you, we're going to grow where we're planted. So when we plant ourselves in the midst of the Lord and plant ourselves in a field of being doers of the Word, we grow up there and we produce much fruit. He said, you shall even produce fruit in your old age. So I don't care. There's a few of you in here older than me. You ain't done. You got to produce more fruit. The tree is still, the roots are still there and actually are stronger than ever before because they're smarter than ever before. I know some days, Roger, we still make stupid mistakes. And it doesn't look like the root's really grounded. But it is. And we need to say, even an old dog can mess up a trick he's known all his life. And we need to just get back there where God would have us to be and fill that spot. But number one, he said, you got to trust. That's the whole word for today. Trust me with all your heart. Don't waver. If y'all would let me, I'll read, I may not read all of it, but I'm going to close. I want to read this little story. I'm just going to tell you what it is. Well, September 23rd, 1857. Just in case, I think I'm supposed to read this. Revival Sweeps the Country is the title of this. This is in my book, 100 Bible Verses That Made America. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. I'm going to read this pretty fast, but you're going to get the gist of it. In the mid-1800s, a tailor named Jeremiah Lanphier moved to Manhattan Island and established a clothing business. When a local ministry organization wanted to engage him for an evangelist work, he closed his shop and became a lay missionary on the streets of New York, headquartered in Lower Manhattan near the present 9/11 memorial. He began his new ministry on July 1st, 1857, began working up and down the streets of New York City, visiting the poor and needy. A financial panic was confounding Wall Street, and Lanphier noticed throngs of businessmen hurrying along their way, their faces careworn, their eyes glazed. He began to envision a noontime prayer meeting where men and women of commerce and business might come, even if they could drop in for only a few minutes. Perhaps they would find strength and guidance there, Lanphier thought. Lanphier developed and distributed a leaflet to announce these noontime prayer meetings, which were to commence on Wednesday, September the 23rd, 1857. The purpose, wrote Lanphier, was to give merchants, mechanics, clerks, strangers, businessmen, and generally an opportunity to lift up their hearts and voices to the throne of grace. The phrase, the throne of grace, comes from Hebrews 4:16. The writer of Hebrews was discussing the ascension of Christ into heaven following his death and resurrection. Having finished his work on earth, Jesus had ascended back to the throne of God, where he now serves as our great high priest. He was tempted in every way, but he never sinned. So by his righteous life and conquering resurrection, he is able to advocate for us on the throne. We should think of prayer then as the act of confidently approaching the throne of grace where we can find mercy and grace to help in our times of need. This was exactly what the business community of New York needed. But when the day came for the first prayer meeting, no one showed up. At least not at first. For half an hour, Lanphier prayed alone, but at 12:30, he heard footsteps. Eventually, six people gathered. The next 20 showed up, and the next week, 20 showed up, and the next week, 40. After the floodgates broke, soon churches were overflowing with daily prayer meetings across the city. Fire departments, police stations, this is New York, opened their prayers facilities for prayer. Local businesses set aside rooms for their employees to pray. Thousands came to Christ, with newspapers reporting hundreds of incidents and from the revival. The New York Tribune devoted entire editions to the revival in the headline in the New York Press, as revival sweeps the country. And it did. The movement swept the eastern seaboard, pushed westward into the frontier. One man reported, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. On my journey east, I found a continuous prayer meeting all the way. It was a prayer meeting 2,000 miles long. Just think about that, 1857. In Chicago, multitudes were converted. The religious interest now existing in the city is very remarkable, a man said. The Metropolitan Hall is crowded to suffocation. The interest in the revival is beyond anything ever known in this city and exceeds anything I've ever seen in my life. Some who have come to the city on business have become so distressed about their condition as sinners before God that they entirely forgot their business in the earnest of their desire for salvation. One Chicago citizen, a 25-year-old fellow, was so galvanized by the revival, he entered the evangelistic work. D.L. Moody. Guys, it goes on and talks about it, but just think about it. That was obedience. That was a guy that trusted in the Lord with all his heart. And so one of the most coveted, recognized evangelists, D.L. Moody, was born out of that revival. Please, God said, don't think anything you do is too small. Because if you trusted me with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, you're producing much fruit that you might not ever see till you enter my presence here in heaven. Till I pick you up, you know, I'm hoping we get to go and not die, but however it goes, the body perish, whatever. I got to baptize a guy in the hospital yesterday, a friend of mine, and it's pretty cool. He couldn't be dunked, but he said, he told me the day before, he said, Rusty, I ain't never got baptized, and it was really tearing him up. And he's got some age on him and not in real good shape physically, health-wise. And he said, I don't know how you're going to get her done. He said, I got a real big favor of you. He said, I need you to baptize me. He said, I don't know how you're going to do it because you can't dunk me right now. But he said, so we had to figure it out. And we had a whole room full of people, and we had an absolute blast. We just had a wonderful time and just a really big time. Hey, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Father God, thank you today. If there's anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we so much want them to have the opportunity. We don't want anyone leaving here without knowing that if they died today, where would they spend eternity? Would it be with you or out, totally out of your presence in the depths of hell? Lord, we don't want anyone to perish like you. We want all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and that would be you and you're like, man, I want all God has for me, but I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life, we're going to give you the opportunity. We're all going to pray a prayer together. And we're asking you to pray this prayer with us and make Jesus the Lord of your life. So, let's pray. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I want that life that you created for me before the foundations of the world. So I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I confess you as Lord. And I believe, Father God, that you raised Jesus from the dead. So from this day forward, I'm yours. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If today was your day to make Jesus the Lord of your life, we won't embarrass you, but we'd like to give you a Bible. So I'm going to count to three. And on three, if you'd raise your hand, we're just going to get a Bible in your hands and so that we know. Ready? One, two, three. Anybody? Right over here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, God's so good, y'all. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Y'all look up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, one today. Thank you, Jesus. Father, the angels in heaven are rejoicing, and we're rejoicing because we're still bearing fruit. I'm going to keep bearing some fruit, you know. Lots of different kinds of fruit, you know, peaches and apples and strawberries and peaches and ice cream. This time of year is really a good deal. But y'all, thank y'all so much. This is just, again, thank y'all for your prayers. Like I say, pray for Kathy. I still want your prayers too, because I hope in the next 3 weeks from now I'm back horseback. But pray for my wife, because when they tell me that, you know, don't do this, and she's been very good, Betsy. She likes to walk behind me and say, you're doing this or you're not doing that. And I said, just stop it. She said, I'm just trying to help. And I said, I'm tired of help right now. And so thank y'all very much.